Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Jeremiah 29:10-14. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed from Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent into exile. John 1:1-5 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Hello, everyone. How are you guys doing? You good? Think good? Awesome. Couldn't be better, right? It's Advent season. It's that time of the year. Absolutely. And we are on our series here, our Advent series. We're on our third week. We talked about joy and about peace already. And today, as you can see, we're going to talk about hope in the series, Far As the Curse Is Found. We even sang the song today, Where It Comes From, right? That's great. So we are sharing a little bit about, you know, how our sin has affected us and has brought lack of peace, has brought distress, has brought lack of joy, right? Has brought lack of hope. But with Jesus' coming, that all went away. And I wanted to start this message today by sharing a little about that. So if you can go to the next slide and go to the first one. He shines his light. I would like to review four characteristics of Jesus, attributes of Jesus, or things that Jesus has done or does, especially with his coming to earth, that can bring us hope. And the first of them is, he shines his light. Jesus shines his light through us. So we're going to go over the four passages that Scott has chosen for the series as well. And we're going to try to connect them all together, right? In this kind of theme. What are the things that Jesus does that brings us hope? And we start with the very last passage that my friend Casey has read, which is John 1. She read it from, I think, that the first verse until the 5th and then the 14th. And if we go over that chapter of John 1, we see that this is literally John's version of the whole purpose, the whole spiritual meaning of Jesus coming to earth, right? Jesus' birth. And he starts by saying that Jesus is the Word, right? The Word that was once with God, that through that Word, everything came to exist. And it was interesting that as if you, you know, take some time after the service to read through the whole chapter, you will see that that Word is retranslated to a term that is referred to as light. So when John finishes talking about Jesus as being with God and being the Word with God, John starts kind of mentioning that Jesus came to the earth and he became light. So literally bringing this connection, which is not unfounded, right? So if you think of Psalms 119, and so many times when Bible writers compare the Word of God as light. And then we have verse 5 that says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I started to think, okay, so I don't see the word hope there. How can I connect that with hope? And then I just started thinking of the analogy, you know, and I kind of want to invite you guys to do a quick exercise with me to exemplify that. So I'm going to ask all of you guys to close your eyes. So if you don't mind closing your eyes, that's okay. If you don't feel comfortable, you can keep your eyes open, but it's not going to be as fun, just so you know. So this is to exemplify how the connection between Jesus as light and how that brings us hope. I want you to imagine that right now you were transported to a different place. Choose any place, but don't open your eyes. You have to keep them closed. And now I want you to start imagining yourself walking around that place. Just try to walk around. Imagine yourself trying to walk around. It's going to put all of us back here in a state of childhood, right? When we play with our imaginations. And you can open your eyes again. How did that make you feel? Right? I mean, first of all, just me asking you to close your eyes, did that bring you comfort or actually lack of it? And when you were asked to go to a different place, and obviously we were not really transported to a different place, right? But it just, every time I do an exercise like this, it just makes me appreciate my sight so much. You know, because, I imagine that once you lose it, if you have the misfortune of losing it, you have to adapt to it. But we have to understand that having the ability to see, and we see through light, right, it gives us comfort. It gives us a certainty, more certainty of things than when we don't have it. And then, when I went through the exercise, I could understand the meaning of hope here and how Jesus is coming to earth. And coming as the light, the someone who would bring us light to our life in darkness, how this can relate to hope, because this is exactly what it is. For us to have hope in our lives, the more that we can see, the more that we can rely on Jesus' light in our lives, the better. It's very interesting as well that I'm sharing about hope tonight, because this was the theme that that my friend Shane and I have chosen for our message series in the Everett Gospel Mission. So twice a month, Shane and I kind of tag team and share a little bit about hope. This was the theme of the year since January. We have been going passage by passage and sharing. And it's interesting because two of them are here. And this was literally one of the themes that came to my mind the most as I was sharing there. How hope is related to both faith, and we know that faith comes as we hear, and we hear the Word of God. So this is, again, another connection to how when we commit our lives to seeing the light of Jesus, and if we understand that the life of Jesus is the very book that you're probably holding or that you're reading over there, it's the revelation of Jesus, right? That whole, this the black book or the nice app that you have on your cell phone these days, you know, with all of those messages, that's nothing more than the revelation of Jesus in our lives. And I think that since Joanna has done communion and she shared how crazy the world is these days, you know, and how easy it is for us to lose hope, to lose joy, to lose peace, this is another reminder that the Word of God, Jesus himself, and how he reveals himself to us can bring us hope. And it was one of the themes throughout the year. Every time I shared, there was always this Holy Spirit bringing that to me, how important it is if we want to have hope in our lives, that we don't let go of that message. And it's so important that I'll bring this again in a little bit. But let's go to the second topic here. So the second passage that I wanted to share that we just read that also brings an attribute of Jesus is that Jesus plans our future. He has plans for our future, and that is a reason for us to have hope, right? So the key verse that I wanted to read is in Jeremiah 29, verses 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Another interesting connection here. If I remember correctly, I brought the passage about this verse as well in the Everett Gospel Mission. And as soon as I read this, I remember this gentleman that came And I was literally talking about Jesus' plans and how his plans, you know, for us, bring us hope. Even when we can see things working, you know, we know that Jesus has a master plan for us. And even if we go through a whole bunch of pain here, you know, and even if we go through a whole bunch of pain all of our lives here, we have a final hope in Jesus, right? Oh, but, you know, that gentleman was facing a very hard time. And we usually kind of let the gentleman come and share a little bit, you know, the man that joined us in chapel service there. And he just started sharing how, you know, he could not find hope just because of everything he was facing through. And it was not very different than most men there, you know. He was homeless. He did not have a place to stay other than Ever Gospel Mission. He was trying to get a job for months and months and months, but for no avail. Unfortunately, his past choices, you know, affected his ability to get a job. And he was literally, I think I've never seen a speech that was so hopeless as that. And it's hard for us to even find hope when we read messages like this, right? But again, that's why it's so important for us to continue to digest the word, to try to find the light there, because if it's not in Jesus and in relying of Jesus' future of hope for us, right? What other hope are we going to have? It kind of reminded me of Peter, you know, when Jesus gives that very harsh message to us. And he asks you guys, the disciples, are you guys still with me? And Peter says, yeah, you're the only one who brings words of eternal life, right? But sometimes it's tough. We can see that. I think that one of the root causes of that is explained in the next passage. So, Scott, if you don't mind going to the next verse. And it's, again, one of the attributes of Jesus that can give us hope, even though it's explained here why sometimes it's so hard to get hope in our lives. It's Proverbs 13 and 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So it's a fact, right? It's even a Bible theme or a Bible advice or a statement that, you know, when hope is deferred, and especially if it's deferred too many times, our heart becomes sick, which I think is pretty much where that gentleman was, his stage. Probably, you know, so many attempts, so many hopes being built up in his heart that he would get a job, that he would get housing, and nothing was happening, right? It sickens our heart. But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So as I was reading this, you know, and I was meditating, I remember coming back coming back home, right? Because I honestly, I don't think I was much of a help, at least, you know, in that occasion with that gentleman, other than, dude, I completely understand. And I think that sometimes this is all that we can do, right? When we are hopeless, it's to literally just listen and realize that sometimes life really sucks. Sorry for my term here. You can erase this later, Scott, as needed. But it's just the way that it is. But I came back home and I was like, how can we try to avoid that, right? And that was one of those epiphanies, right? That it's all about Jesus' word. It's all about ingraining Jesus' revelation. And I would say seeking Jesus' revelation in our lives. It's very interesting because in this same chapter, and I think that the next verse, verse 13, let me see if I have put it here. Hopefully, yes, it says here in verse 13, right after this, whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself. But he who reveres, makes reverence to the commandment, will be rewarded. And I was like, oh, again, that's the theme. That's the connection, right? So for me to be able to avoid having my hope deferred, but instead having my desire fulfilled, I need to connect to the word of God, right? I almost feel like here the advice that the writer of Proverbs gives us is understanding the word and connecting to the word literally means aligning ourselves, to Jesus' mindset, right? If the Word is Jesus, if the Word is the light who gives us direction, I think that our commandment, and the it's even the word that is used here, commandment, aligning ourselves to Jesus' commandments will avoid frustrations in our lives, right? And man, if you're good at this part, I must say, keep going on, you know, reading the Word, reading the Bible, and not only that, not only having that understanding, the full understanding of what the Bible is, but applying that, being able to see the individual revelation that Jesus has for you in the Bible. It's a constant exercise for me, you know, because my little nature, you know, and not only that, but life is so busy these days, and I know that it all sounds like an excuse, but I'm bringing this up to see if you can correlate, you know. Our life is just so hard to find time to really not only read the Bible, but meditate and ask Jesus, like have that avid mindset of, Jesus, how can my life align to this, right? Not only that full understanding of scriptures and theology and make sure that it's sound, because we need that foundation if we want to understand God's revelation to our lives, but how can I align with that? And am I saying that, you know, the reason of all frustrations in our lives has to do with our lack of understanding of the Bible? No, absolutely not, right? There's a lot that is done against us, you know, and a lot of that goes outside of our control. But obviously, if we have an understanding as well, like in Romans, that everything cooperates, you know, for the good of the ones who love Him, right? We understand that it's, again, it's all that part of the plan. And aligning our mindset with Jesus, with the Word of Jesus, with the light, having that light help us see through may help us as well make better decisions and avoid, again, lack of hope, right? Or hope being deferred too many times. And the last piece, the last attribute of Jesus, right? He shines His lights to us. He plans for our future. He gives the right answer. These are all things that can give us hope. And the ultimate hope of all, Jesus will destroy Satan's plans. It's there in Revelation 12:9. The passage, I made a little change here, Scott. The passage that we actually read was Genesis, right? But this here brings context to that passage when God said, as He is cursing the serpent for bringing the temptation to Adam and Eve, and He said, you know, from the woman's offspring, He will crush your head, and there will be enmity. I don't know how to say that word either. Hopefully I'm saying it right. You know, you guys are going to be enemies. That was actually a prophecy that God was already bringing for the coming of Jesus. He would be the one to destroy the serpent, who is Satan. And that's exactly what it's saying there. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. So it just took about 6,000 years or even more, depending on how you believe that the Bible was constructed and stuff, for that full revelation, the full circle, right? From when the time that God first revealed that to man as He was cursing the serpent to the time that John brings this revelation. Jesus comes to earth to destroy Satan's plans. And even though we know that He is at work and He's working really hard these days, the enemy, you know, to destroy our lives, to bring us away from God, we know that in the end, Jesus is coming and He's coming again. And He's coming to destroy Satan's plans. And again, I could see this many times. Not as many times as I would like to have seen, but I have seen this in the Ever Gospel Mission far enough to me it's the biggest miracle. You know, when I see one of those dudes coming in with their lives like completely destroyed, they don't have a place to go, and then a few months later, they're gone. I don't even know where they are anymore, you know. And it's usually, seriously, guys, I know that I don't have statistical numbers here to bring to you, but it's amazing. The ones that start really opening their eyes and their hearts to Jesus and really start, like, seeking Jesus, those are the ones that come and go the fastest. Some of them come and, you know, share a little bit about what is going on in their lives and how they're getting a place to go. You know, you start seeing them getting jobs and literally getting their lives transformed. And again, as I said, this is the biggest miracle that I could see. And this is a confirmation that You know, if Satan is working hard these days, Jesus is working harder. You know, Jesus is also at work, and his master plan will be fulfilled. And I think this is a great, great confirmation that, you know, even when we're facing hard times, we should still be hopeful. And or when we see, you know, around us everything going wrong, we should also have hope that, you know, Jesus is at work. So what about we finish up with a prayer, right? Asking Jesus to not only bring us hope in our lives, but also put that hope at work, that hope may generate fruits of action, right? That we don't just keep hoping, but ensuring that, you know, this understanding of Jesus can bring us action to bring hope to others too. Jesus, I wanna thank you for this time here with the church. I also wanna thank you for my time this year at the Ever Gospel Mission. Actually, my next week is gonna be my last Friday there. And I wanna thank you because you are, to me, the biggest source of hope that this world can ever have. And what a responsibility it is for us, Jesus. You know, as we just, I know that this is not new knowledge for any of us here, right? That you are the light of the world. And, you know, that this light can make us see things that others can't. And that can bring us hope, right? It's not all lost. It's such a responsibility, Jesus. And I think that the Bible is also very clear that we are the light of this world, right? So if we compare, we are the ones, we are one of the main instruments for you to share your hope to others. I want to end this message here with this call out for all of us, Jesus, and I want to ask you to help us. First, help us be more and more in love of your word. Help us align our desires, our wants more and more to what you want for us. And that you reveal that through us to your word. And I also pray, Jesus, that this is not going to just be contained in ourselves, you know, but knowing that you are at work and you have a master plan to destroy Satan's work. I know because the Bible says so, that the church, that each of us is such an integral part of it. So help us step up even more, Jesus, to fulfill those plans. And I don't mean that we're going to be doing things that will impact millions, you know. It's not about the size of what we are doing, but just, you know, help us be open to and sensitive to your Holy Spirit when you know, expect or want to have an action from us as well. Especially if that has to do with bringing hope to others. And especially this season as well, you know, a season when, you know, this can bring so much happiness to many, but also it can bring sadness, it can bring memories of, you know, lost people or any loss in their lives. You know, place us in the right areas, Jesus, so we can help others. That's my prayer, Jesus, that we may be instruments of hope this season. In your name, amen. Amen. Amen.